Let's hear the word of God. The word of the Lord that came to Hosea, son of Beeri, during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and during the reign of Jeroboam, son of Joash, king of Israel. When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, "Go marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her, for like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord." So he married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. Then the Lord said to Hosea, "Call him Jezreel, because soon I will punish the house of Jehu for the massacre at Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of Israel. And in that day I will break Israel's bow in the valley of Jezreel." Gomer conceived again and gave birth to a daughter. Then the Lord said to Hosea, "Call her Lo-Ruhamah, which means not loved, for I will no longer show love to Israel, that I should at all forgive them. Yet I will show love to Judah, and I will save them, not by bow, sword, or battle, or by horses and horsemen, but I, the Lord their God, will save them." And after she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, Gomer had another son. Then the Lord said, "Call him Lo-Ammi, which means not my people, for you are not my people, and I am not your God. Yet the Israelites will be like the sand on the seashore, which cannot be measured or counted. In the place where it was said to them, 'You are not my people,' they will be called the children of the living God. And the people of Judah and the people of Israel will come together. They will appoint one leader and will come out of the land, for great will be the day of Jezreel." Amen. May God bless us, the reading of his word. If the children want to head out to their program, let's just pray again together. Father, we need you tonight. We need your spirit to be present, to hear you speak. Help your servant speak what, Lord, you're laying on my heart tonight. To speak with boldness and honesty. And enable us, Lord, to hear you and you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. It's one of those passages that you wish that you hadn't got the phone call to say, "Would you take the service?" But here we are. The 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The story of Hosea is one of those pieces of scripture that does exactly all that's contained in those two verses. In part three of our series from Peggy Harvey's book, this little book, if you haven't got a copy, there's still copies out there. We're invited to delve into these first two chapters of Hosea. It's a part that's entitled "Broken Hearted, Does God Really Understand?" And Hosea is a love story. It's a story of love and heartbreak between a man and a woman, between God and his chosen people. It's Hosea and Gomer's story. It's Israel's story. It's our story. It's our story and the God who has and does show all of us incredible love, mercy, and grace. Some of you tonight will know exactly the heartache that Hosea faced. Some of you tonight will have been Gomer, whether you're male or female, being the one that has brought heartache. And in the midst of this story tonight, we have all been responsible for the heartache that God has felt. But maybe we have never looked at it that way before. Maybe we have never really truly recognized the pain that our sin has caused God and how he views it. But maybe also tonight, you need to know that you can be forgiven. You need to know that you can be restored. And you need to know that you can love again. So Hosea is not an easy read, but it is scripture that we need to hear. So at the outset of it, let's just look at these first three verses in chapter 1. And the characters that were introduced to, the first being Hosea. And it says, the word of the Lord came to Hosea, son of Beeri, during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and during the reign of Jeroboam, son of Joash, king of Israel. Hosea was a prophet who served in the 8th century BC, and he ministered to Israel, the northern kingdoms, during the reign of King Jeroboam. And while he preached to Israel, Isaiah and Amos were preaching to Judah. His name means salvation. And that's important to store away for the story. For he is the one who will come to save Gomer. And he is a picture of God who came to save you and me. Gomer's a very different character. We're told that she is the daughter of Diblaim, and we're told in verse 2 that she is an adulteress, or depending on the translation that you use, the description of that can be quite a lot stronger. Some will use the word harlot. Some will use the word whore. But suffice to say that Gomer wasn't exactly the type of girl that you wanted your son to bring home to say you were marrying her. But God chose Hosea for this situation. And he also chose Gomer for Hosea. And here's why. In verse 4, he says to him, so take yourself an adulterous wife and children of unfaithfulness, because the land is guilty of the vilest adultery in departing from the Lord. So he, Hosea, married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. Their marriage was to serve as a picture of God's relationship with Israel. But that is not how God had originally planned that relationship to be. That was never his idea. His idea for the relationship takes us back into Deuteronomy chapter 7. If you just want to listen to this, I'll just read these verses to you. And this is what God said back in Deuteronomy for his relationship with the people. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the people on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. The Lord did not set his affection on you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were of the fewest of people. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your forefathers that he would bring you out with a mighty hand and redeem you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Israel was God's chosen people. He chose them and he loved them. And he loved them not because of what they did or the size that they were. He simply chose to love them. No ifs, no buts. And if Hosea's marriage to Gomer is a picture of God's relationship with Israel, then we say of Hosea that he loved Gomer. Not because of her looks, not because of what she did, nothing about her. He chose to love her. But Israel and Gomer didn't always live like they were chosen. They didn't always live like they were loved. Israel was not behaving according to its identity as the children of God. They were giving themselves to idols and had forsaken the Lord. Israel went for false gods, even when they were loved by the true God. And Gomer went for her lovers, even after she had the love of Hosea and a new identity as a bride. What is it that drives the Gomers of this world, the children of Israel, you and me, to make bad decisions? Well, God begins to unpack that for us in different verses throughout Hosea. In Hosea 13:6, he said, "When I fed them, they were satisfied. When they were satisfied, they became proud. Then they forgot me." God had provided for Israel, and when they became satisfied and proud, they just forgot all about him. It's easy to forget God when he's blessed us, when things are good, when things are going well. It's easy to let him slip into the background. In Hosea 11:7, he says, "My people are determined to turn from me. Even if they call to the Most High, he will by no means exalt for them." My people are determined to turn from me. The song says they are prone to wander, prone to leave the God they love. Prone to wander. I wonder tonight, does that ring true in your life? Is it true in my life? But there are times when we're prone to wander. The prophet Isaiah, serving in the other kingdom, put it this way: "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Isaiah compared us to sheep. We have a tendency to get satisfied, to get proud, and to forget God. For Gomer, she had probably never experienced stability and love in her life. She was no longer known as Gomer, the adulteress, the prostitute, the whore, whatever term you want to use. She was known as Gomer, the chosen and loved bride of Hosea the prophet. She had a different status in life. And then the first child arrives, and the people patiently wait to hear what the name will be of that child. Jezreel. "Call him Jezreel, because I will soon punish the house of Jehu for the massacre at Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of Israel." The people of that day would have known exactly what this meant. God is about to punish the house of Jehu for the bloodshed of Jezreel. God is tired of their unfaithfulness, and he's going to cut off their blessings and their protection. God says to them, "I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. I'm going to wipe out your army. I'm going to destroy your weapons so your enemies will defeat you in battle." The people knew exactly what it meant. And then a while later, a girl is born to them. And she is named Lo Ruhamah, "For I will no longer show love to the house of Israel, that I should forgive them." Some other translations put the name meaning "no compassion." And when Scripture speaks of God showing compassion, it means he feels our hurts, he knows our sufferings. And yet in naming this child, he's using this as a picture of something totally different. We need to be careful here that whilst we take the story literally, it does not mean that God was rejecting these children or removing his compassion and love from them. Their names are simply a word picture for the people of that time. And so when child number 3 comes along and he's told to call him, in verse 9, "Call him Lo Amai, for you are not my people and I am not your God." Through these three names, God is saying to Israel, I'm going to strip you of your security. I'm going to fight against you and make you powerless. I'm going to harden the hearts against them and have no compassion for them or their suffering. I am going to disown them, and if they come to me for help, I will act as if I don't know them. This was a tough message God was giving through Hosea. And yet right at the end of this chapter, in verses 10 to 11, we have a total different contrast. It says, yet the Israelites will be like the sand on the seashore, for which cannot be measured or counted. In the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, they will be called the sons of the living God. The people of Judah and the people of Israel will be reunited, and they will appoint one leader and will come up out of the land, for great will be the day of Jezreel. God says the opposite now to them. He says, this is what it could be like. You will be called sons of the living God. You will be like sand on the seashore. You and Judah will be reunited under one leader. But as quickly as you begin to get your head around those verses, chapter 2 gives us a graphic description of Israel's unfaithfulness and an unfaithful wife. Both Israel and Gomer have made bad decisions, bad choices. Out of fear, stress, selfishness, or shame, or for any other reason, you and I may make bad choices, which we know we shouldn't have made. But once the ball had started to roll, we couldn't or we didn't stop it. And we can look back and ask ourselves, why on earth did I do that? Hosea chapter 2 and verse 5 describes part of Gomer's story. Their mother has been unfaithful and has conceived them in disgrace. She said, I will go after my lovers who give me food and water, my wool and my linen, my oil and my drink. Gomer decided to go after her lovers. She left Hosea, she left her children, and she stepped away. Why? Gomer thought her lovers could give her something better than Hosea, that they would make her feel something that she wasn't feeling for him. And what she thought she was getting from her lovers in the bread and the water represents the basic needs that we have for life, needs that have to be met each day. The woolen flax represent the fabric to make clothing, so it was all about her appearance, her physical impression she was making to others. And oil and drink were the pleasure commodities of Gomer's day. With Hosea, Gomer would have had shelter and security, clothes, good things. But Gomer wanted what she didn't have. The old adage that says, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. Or so she thought. And so she looked out of sight of Hosea for her needs and her wants to be met. She exchanged her marriage for an affair, love for lust, her husband for a lover, her identity as a loved bride for the identity of a prostitute. She went after human lovers and wound up wounded and enslaved. Israel went after other gods they believed offered them power and prosperity. They wound up leaderless, defenseless, and ultimately destroyed. The results of Gomer's choices show up in chapter 3 of the book. But before she even gets there, God begins to put blocks in her way. He tries to stop her, but she ignores him. In verse 6, he will block her way with thorns. I will wall her in so that she cannot find them. She will chase after her lovers, but not catch them. She will look for them, but not find them. God puts roadblocks, afflictions, thorns, walls, or all parts of things that he uses for our own good. But Gomer chose to ignore them. And yet we have an incredible God whose mercy and grace is amazing. We're not told exactly how it happened. But in chapter 3, Gomer ended up at a slave auction to be sold. And God gives Hosea this instruction. And he said to me, go show your wife your love. Go show to your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another and is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves Israel, the Israelites. Maybe at that moment in time, Hosea needed to know God's love more than he loved Gomer. In order to be able to obey what God was asking him to do, Hosea is human. He had felt the deep hurt caused by Gomer, the humiliation, the sheer devastation. But Hosea was called by God and he followed God. And that's where his strength came from. The psalmist writes, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those crushed in spirit. He says also, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. We have this amazing picture in chapter 3 where Hosea goes to the slave market, a horrible place to be. And in the slave market, Gomer would have been stripped of everything. She would have been placed on a block in front of the crowd. Those wanting to buy would come and look and poke and prod. And as she stood there, totally humiliated, knowing that her own life had brought her to that point, as she stands there, suddenly she sees somebody familiar. And he makes his way in through the crowd. The crowd are probably shocked to see him there. This is a prophet. Why would he be at a slave sale? Why would he be there? And Hosea ignores what's going on around him. And he goes over to Gomer and he buys her. Tells us he paid 15 pieces of silver and a bag of barley. He pays for her. He didn't have to pay for her. She was his wife. He could just have taken her. But he paid for her. And he makes this promise to her. He says, I want you to come back and I want you to live with me. But you will turn from the life that you've had. You will not go after other men. You will not run after other things. You will live with me. And I promise to live with you. That picture of Gomer in the slave market is you and me. When God took the decision to send his son Jesus to pay the price for you and me. He didn't have to. He chose to do it. But as he has taken us, he says the same thing to us. I don't want you to live as you've been living. You're a new creation now. I have paid the price for you. If you come to live with me, if you accept me into your heart, then you change. You don't live as you were living before. This is a new start. This is a new day. Will you come? And Gomer chose to go with him that day. God's heart breaks when he sees the things that you and I do. If I'm really honest, I suppose I lived for many years thinking that my sin only affected me. Didn't affect anybody else. This has been one of the hardest passages that I've ever had to look through. This is my family. I come from parents who separated because of this lifestyle. But I also know that in reading this week, that what I have been doing and how I've lived my life and how I've lived my life with God has been causing to him the same pain that I've felt throughout my life. And here's the thing. God says, it can change. It can change. I can change you. I have parents who I love dearly. Really do love dearly. But that change had to come because of what God did in me. That's where the change had to come. Some of you have been through horrendous things in your marriages. And it has nearly broken you. And with God's strength, you have come through those things. He has brought you through them. And I thank God for that. There are some of you who may be here tonight, and you've been very close to walking away in your marriage. Very tempted for all sorts of reasons. Just the same as Gomer. By friendships that you've maybe made with people where they just get closer and closer and closer, and you weren't really thinking about it. But you've started to realize, I'm on dodgy ground here. And the same God who came to rescue Gomer comes to you tonight. And the same God who put a wall and put fences and put all sorts of things in Gomer's way to stop her making a mess says to you tonight, I'm doing the same for you. Stop the direction that you're heading in. Turn around and come back to me. I have paid the price for you. And I will walk with you. I will change you if you will come to me. Some of you are grandparents of children who have gone through divorce and broken marriages and separations. And you've been desperately hurt by what has happened. And you've found it hard to forgive. You've watched your child been hurt, or you've watched your child hurting another person. And it's been difficult. It's been hard. For some, and the more we hear about it, and especially some of the stuff on Radio 5 Live that I would listen to, grandparents that end up, they never see their grandchildren again. The damage goes on to the next generation. But you find it hard to forgive. Hosea, through the strength of God, forgave Gomer. You need, through the strength of God, to forgive whoever it is has hurt your child or your son-in-law or whoever. And God's word promises that when we come and ask him, he will be faithful and he will answer to that. Our God is true to his word. He will not break his promises. God says, I will heal their waywardness and love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them. And right at the end of Hosea, it says this: the ways of the Lord are right, and the righteous walk in them. Will you make a choice tonight to walk with God? To allow him to give you the strength to forgive where forgiveness needs to be. Allow him to strengthen you for whatever you're going through tonight and to walk with you. Because he